Chapter 2. Command and impact. You must have command in your voice and understand the impact of a message. There's a few things that you can do to utilize your natural voice power. One being, you can stand up. This expands the lungs and allows you to fill them with the maximum amount of air. This will increase the power in your voice. Have you ever noticed a public speaker never speaks from a sitting position? This is because they need the full power of their lungs and their vocal cords. This brings me to the next topic, hydration. If you're an active phone salesperson, you should be drinking a minimum of 1 gallon of water per day. This will keep the vocal cords lubricated and allow you to perform just as strong in the morning as you do in the afternoon. Another trick to command in your voice is having a mirror in front of you. This will make you look yourself in the eye, smile, and deliver with authority. When it comes to the delivery of your message, it's important to understand how we as people communicate. A long-time study has shown the impact comes from three sources. 55% being body language, mostly facial expressions and hand gestures. 38% being vocal, that's your pitch, pace, articulation, tonality, and rhythm. And then only 7% being verbal, which is the word you speak. If you didn't just sit back and ponder on that, please take a moment to do so. Effective communication is the key to being an assassin on the phone and to boosting your income into uncharted territories. The average salesperson will look at those numbers and disregard the 55% because they feel that it's irrelevant due to not being able to be seen through the phone. But here's the thing, you are seen instantly. From the first breath on the call, the prospect starts to paint a vivid picture of you as the sales professional, or lack thereof. They're going to paint a picture full of vivid detail, no matter if it's true or not. The prospect continues to paint away in a twisted Picasso-like manner until the image is so horrid that they hang up on you, or the salesperson backs away, beaten and sold on the idea that their call was of no value. Because you see, without a close on the call, you brought zero value to the prospect. Sure, you may have talked about baseball, his kids, and been one of the nicest people that have ever called on him, but at the end of the day, if you do not close the prospect, if you do not deliver your service or product, what value does the prospect really leave the call with? That is something to think about. Creating suspense. Alfred Hitchcock said it best, "There is no terror in the bang, only in the anticipation of it." This couldn't be more true in sales, and specifically in phone sales. Suspense plays a powerful role in the human mind. It increases our awareness, puts us on edge, and puts our senses on high alert. It also plays a powerful role in memory and the intense effects of memory. As sales professionals, we want to make sure that our prospects remember us long after the initial call. We do this by creating suspense in the initial few moments of the call. One way to do this is a voice up. This is as simple as repeating the caller's name using tonality and end up worded manner. I'll give you an example. Say I'm calling Alisa. I'm going to say, "Alisa?" When she answers the phone, she might say, "Thank you for calling Acme Plumbing Supply. This is Alisa." "Alisa?" She's going to lean in now and say, "Yes." It's a question, and I raise my voice to a higher pitch as I say the name. Now, Alisa is going to perk her ears up and wonder who exactly is this calling. I then want to be very distinctive with my intro line. Again, this goes back to practicing over and over and over again. We want to sound very, very sharp. I'll touch on this more in the latter of the phone sales section. But creating suspense in your voice and the call in general will allow you to make it past those first few pivotal moments in the call that are so vital to your success. We want the prospect to almost be guessing what the call is really all about. Sounding authoritative, as almost like the prospect is in trouble, is another great tactic to increase suspense. Time management. Time management when making calls is probably one of the most difficult and challenging things I see in the field. Salespeople want to find reasons not to make the call versus just making the call. They'll do research for an hour, contemplate the services that the prospect may need or want to buy, and then finally, when they make the call, they cop out at the gatekeeper. What kind of weak shit is that? Here's the thing. I have a rule called 3x3. Give me 3 minutes of research to find 3 points of interest, and then put all your power into making a perfect call. Because at the end of the day, the call is what matters. When it comes to utilizing your time, I often urge my clients to time block. This allows them to set a specific amount of time every day to make phone calls. This keeps you accountable and makes you stick to a structured system. The best thing to do when making phone calls is to go into complete isolation. I can hear you now. Oh my gosh, DJ, you mean turn off my phone, silence my email, close out Facebook and social media, and not look at Twitter for 2 hours? You bet your ass that's what I mean. Without doing so, you can't give full attention into making the phone calls. Not doing so will either make you broke or without a job very, very soon. For my entrepreneurs, it'll mean going back to a job. There are a few tips for working in an office and needing to make calls. Lock your door. Place a do not enter sign on the door. Make sure fellow team members understand that you're going into isolation to make phone calls. Make your phone calls early in the morning. This will allow you to reach decision makers before they get bogged down with daily monotonous tasks. Now, what do you do if a client needs you during this time space? What happens if a so-called emergency comes up? I have a saying in one of my other businesses that if it's not broke or bleeding, it's not truly an emergency. You see, our society overreacts about everything as if it's an 11-alarm fire. Everything's treated with the same level of attention. Push notifications are exactly the same no matter how important they are when they come across. This makes it very difficult for our minds to control what we let through and not let through. It's like in the medical field in the ER room, they do what's called triage. As patients come in, they're looked over, vital signs are taken, and they are scaled on how important it is to get to them. Why don't we do this in the business world? When the phone rings in your office, do you categorize how important that call is? How about the standard order of operation for getting back and handling the phone call? My guess is that you do not have a set system for classifying the urgency of matters in your business. Listen, in business, nothing happens until a sale is made. We spoke about this earlier. So how important is it to make that isolated phone call time? You might want to think about that one. Chapter 3, Cold Calling Violations. Here's a list of cold calling violations. These are things that you absolutely do not want to do on the phone. No client engagement. This is what I spoke about earlier, the shot clock violation. Never go more than 30 seconds without engaging the client or prospect. Examples of this might be, Mr. Prospect, you know, I'm pitching you here. I'm telling you about something. Does that make sense? Are we good to move forward? Does all of that sound okay? We're just asking probing questions so that they'll give us some feedback and engage. Don't listen. This is one of my pet peeves. A client will ask a question or make a suggestion, and yet the salesperson barrels right over the top of them. Talkovers. Talking over a prospect might deserve to get you thrown into phone sales jail. No tickets. Don't pass go. Definitely don't collect the $200 and take your ass straight to jail. Your adrenaline will be flowing, but you must control your rate of speech, your pitch, and your tonality. But most importantly, you must keep your mind on the objective, which is either setting the appointment or pitching the sale. Pitch versus discuss. This is a rookie mistake. You finally get the prospect on the phone. He's interested. Now what the hell do you do? Low-level sales professionals will go straight into a pitch fest, while high-level sales professionals will discuss the needs and challenges of the prospect and just how our solution solves their struggle. Side note, it's very important that when you have a prospect on the phone, you start to lay the foundational groundwork for them to do business with you. Too much research. Again, give me that 3x3 rule. Give me 3 minutes of research, and then let's make the perfect call. Weak voice. The sales world is no place for timid people. Selling on the phone is no place for a timid voice. Your voice must possess power, control, and authority while having the ability to command attention while demanding respect. Fear. If the prospect senses any type of fear, you'll be in hot water as quick as you can dial the number of the next prospect. Fear is often referred to as false evidence appearing real. Here's something to tell yourself. The worst thing they can do is tell me no, and I've never been hurt by a no yet. Gatekeepers. Ha, the gatekeepers. Trusted protector of the schedule. Knight of the front desk. Secretary of office defense. Okay. Maybe not that over the top. But what if I told you this person could be made your friend? Maybe you're scratching your head right now in astonishment of how such a thing could happen. No worries. Coach Carroll's going to come through for you. As long as a salesperson has been around, the gatekeeper has been there to protect the decision maker. But what I'm going to share with you will allow you to navigate past a gatekeeper as if there were a family member. There are 3 tricks to utilize when you encounter a gatekeeper. First, you must have absolute definite purpose in your mind of why you're calling. Second, know exactly what your plan is no matter the outcome of the call. Last, create a next step in the sales process. Here, let's break those down. Number 1, one or ah, and you're done. That smells like salesman from a mile away. Make sure you are concise about why you're calling. This is why we use the 3x3 rule as explained earlier in the training. Do enough research so that you know exactly who you are calling and exactly why you are calling that person. Doing this will allow you to have calmness in your voice and will cause the gatekeeper to instantly respect you. Most sales professionals will make a phone call, and when the gatekeeper answers, it goes a little something like this. Gatekeeper.
Thanks for calling ABC Company. How may I help you?
Salesperson.
Yes, this is, Tyler. Is the, manager there?
Gatekeeper.
I believe that she, is, but may have stepped away for the moment. May I take a message?
Salesperson.
Sure, this is Tyler with XYZ Distributing. Just have her give me a call at, 888-555-5555.
Weak sauce. Guess what happens? She never calls, you don't know her name, and you call back 3 more times and get the same answer. What may be even worse is the prospect and the prospect's gatekeeper now associate your company with a low-level salesperson that can't get past the first line of defense. That simply will not cut it. You must have command in your voice and know exactly what you want. Something like this. Gatekeeper.
Thanks for calling ABC Company. How may I help you?
Salesperson.
Jessica Monroe, please.
Gatekeeper.
May I tell her who's calling?
Salesperson.
Sure, it's Tyler.
Instantly, the gatekeeper's guard begins to drop as she thinks you're on the first name basis with the prospect. Let's take it a little further. Gatekeeper.
And who are you with?
Salesperson.
Just let her know it's Tyler Jackson. She'll know who you're talking about.
Whether she does or doesn't is irrelevant. We simply need the gatekeeper to let down their guard so that we can get through. Gatekeeper.
Was she expecting your call?
Don't you just love these persistent ones? Salesperson.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch your name.
Gatekeeper.
Oh, it's Christine.
Salesperson.
Christine?
There's that voice up. Gatekeeper.
Yes?
Salesperson.
Great. I don't have my email in front of me to see if she accepted my invite to the call, but this is the time slot I had down for her to call.
That last line is golden. Guess what the gatekeeper thinks now? This is Christine's internal conversation. Should we patch him through? Well, he certainly is calm, very collected. He doesn't sound like a salesperson. He also knew a first name and last name. And it sounds like they've been emailing back and forth as well. Given that convo happens in milliseconds in her head, but it works. It sure as hell beats the, yeah, just give her my number and have her call me. Number two, you should have a clear plan no matter what happens in the call. Where most salespeople fail is they pick up the phone and start dialing without ever running through strategy. No general would ever dare to go into battle without running through scenarios. The if this, then that logic. Here's an exercise. Fill in the following. What are you going to do if the gatekeeper says the prospect isn't in? What are you going to say if the gatekeeper says they can take a message? What will you say if the prospect answers and not the gatekeeper? What will you say if the prospect has questions on pricing? What will you say if the prospect says they already have someone? What will you say if the prospect hangs up on you? Sit at your desk with a sheet of paper and continue to add to that list. Write down everything you have ever heard from a prospect or gatekeeper. Then practice your comebacks. Again, a general always runs through his scenarios. Number three, possibly one of the most important steps in the selling process, but one that is almost always skipped, what's your next step? Do you even know? Is it specific? Do you know when that next meeting will be? What time? Do you know what you're going to cover? When is a decision expected? When can you expect the signed agreement? You see, most sales professionals fail because of the unknown. Do you think a basketball team would be successful if all five players didn't know what defense they were going to be in? Think a Navy SEAL jumps out of an airplane before knowing what he's going to do once he touches the ground? Then why leave a sales up to fate? Too often, I see the kiss of death where the meeting or call comes to an awkward close and a precise next step isn't agreed on by both parties. Tying this back into the gatekeeper, if Mrs. Smith is out of the office, ask when she'll be back. Let the gatekeeper know you'll call them back at the precise time and thank them in advance for helping you connect with Mrs. Smith. Act like the gatekeeper is on your side, and 9 times out of 10, they'll go right along with it. Nothing is ever certain in sales, but if we can implement tactics to help swing things in our favor, small percentage points at a time, we will be light years ahead of the competition and well on our way to dominating our market.